Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday in August the 10th, 2019, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Well, this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and certainly I want to thank each and every one that's on the line today, and certainly those that will hear this blog talk. We are a marketplace ministry that is letting the people know that God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, but we are destroying the yokes of bondage. We are telling the enemy we're not going to stand for it anymore, and we're standing on God's word, and we're believing God for his grace, his mercy, and his power. So with that being said, let's get to the announcements. I want to announce that the First Jurisdiction Illinois Church of God in Christ Holy Convocation, the 63rd Annual Holy Convocation, will take place on next week. The theme is A Lame Church Before a Crippled World, August 3rd, I'm sorry. Acts, coming from Acts the 3rd, verses 1 through 8, and is taking place on August the 12th through the 16th, 2019. Services will begin promptly at 7 p.m. Of course, Bishop O.C. Booker is the jurisdictional prelay, and Mother Shirley Hughes is the supervisor of women. This is going to take place at Abounding Life Church of God in Christ, located at 14626 Mozart Avenue, Posen, Illinois. Zip is 60469 for more information. You can go to www.fjicogic.org for more information. Also, want to give you some highlights. Monday night is Music and Youth Night, and you get Pastor Stephen Henderson, who is the speaker, and certainly he will give a word of God. And then there's a special event on Tuesday night, a night of empowerment with relevant topics for all ages. And we've got Gender Crisis Identifying and Ministering to Overt and Covert LGBTQ in the Church. And certainly that Chantel Biddings will be going forth in that. Then you have mental wellness, and you have Melissa Peel, and certainly myself, Dr. Maria Carey. We will be dealing with issues on that topic. Then you have churches as soft targets, active shooter information, which you will have Charles Deshane. He will come and present that. Then you have topics for the youth, which is gender crisis for the youth, which is Lori Reed, and mental wellness for the youth, which is Parnice Nicholson. Then, of course, you have Wednesday night, and Wednesday night, Mother Shirley Hughes will be the jurisdictional speaker, will be in full force, and that meeting starts at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and we will have a grind time of the Lord. Then we have speakers on that Thursday night, which we have Bishop Jerry Macklin, who is the second presiding bishop of the Churches of God in Christ. And then Friday night, the prelay, jurisdictional Bishop O.C. Booker will wrap it all up. Again, take note of those announcements. I will be doing a special presentation on that Tuesday. It starts at 7 o'clock. Come out. Let me know that you're there. I certainly will appreciate your support. And if you don't come out, I definitely will be relying on your prayers. Another event, I will be speaking tomorrow at Word of Truth, Pentecostal Church of God in Christ. I would love to see you in the place. I would love to know that you're there, that you're listening to my blog, that you're there to encourage me and say we're lifting you up in prayer. And I certainly would love to hear you, would love to see you. And again, if I don't see you, pray for me, please. I need your prayers. Also need your prayers on this morning. Facing some challenges in my body, but I know that God is a healer. So last announcement I want to get in your ear, Amazing Grace School of Ministry. We're coming in the fall. We got new and exciting things for you. Keep listening and keep your ears open. Keep your eyes and your ears open, or in this case, keep your ears open. We're coming in the fall with a new and exciting lesson. But if you want to hear the last and the previous lessons, please give me a call, and certainly I will direct you to those lessons. And again, you know my number, 309-750-7584. And if I have said anything on this blog that encourages you, I need to hear from you. Text me, email me, say, Dr. Carey, you said a word, and I'm praying for you. You know, the teacher needs encouragement too. Hallelujah. If there's any subject matter that you want to deal with, then that's also on the table as well. So give me a call, give me an email. If you're listening on the airways, if you're listening on Facebook, if you're listening on Twitter, just give me a shout out, give me a call so that we can get the information to you. Don't want you to be in the dark. Okay, let's get going. Hallelujah. One more before I go on. My email is drcareyphd@yahoo.com. All right. So let's get into the subject matter, shall we? We have been getting into some lessons that have been taught or were taught during our adult vacation Bible classes at Word of Truth Pentecostal, and yours truly was the teacher. And these lessons moved me so profoundly, I said I don't want to just let these lessons go, and I wanted to put them on the blog. The overall theme was truth, justice, and power, the Jesus way. And the main focus is coming out of Ephesians 6. And let me get you the verses. 6:10-18. And certainly we're going to have other, we're going to take you in other places of Scripture. But this is relevant for today in this time. You know, we have to understand that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy is trying to take as many people as he can out of here. And he's trying to make little a light of the church and the power of the church. But I want to let you know that God is still in control. God is still a God of authority. He's still a God of power and might. And certainly there are those that he has that will stand up and tell this dying world what they need to do to be saved. We've got young people that are killing the hundreds and shooting up various places. We've got hatred that seems to be abounding to such a great length that it seems like God, where is God? Well, I tell you, God is still here. He still loves you. He still is in the midst. And we've got to turn our face to the wall and do what we are about to talk about on today. And that is the segment here that I want to call intercessory prayer, Hezekiah's prayer motto. Intercessory prayer, Hezekiah's prayer motto. Now, we're going to the scriptures. Let's go to the scriptures. 2 Kings 19, verses 14 through 21. I'm going to read. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hands of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods unto the fire. For they were no gods but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now, 19. Therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of the hands, that all the kingdom of the earth may know, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Moses, not Moses, Amos. Want to get the words right, people, not Moses. I'm going to read that scripture again. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus said the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, king of Assyria, I've heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee and laughed thy to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Now, I'm going to read another version. I'm going to go into Isaiah, and I'm going to read almost the same attack versions, 37 through 14 to 18. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, thou dwellest between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone, all of the nations of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. 18. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste to all nations and their countries. So let's get some background here. Hezekiah was the 12th king of Judah. He ascended the throne at 25 years old, and he reigned for 29 years. And he was a good king of Judah because he followed after the Lord. He followed in the footsteps of the Lord, the footsteps of David. He was a descendant of David, and he ascended the throne, and here he is praying to the Lord. Now, Sennacherib was Assyrian ruler from 701 to about 681 BC, who threatened the king Hezekiah. And the prophet Isaiah prophesied that he would be killed. You know, you got to be careful when you go against the Lord's people and you treat us any old kind of way. I want to say that God is a God of justice. We're talking about overall thing, truth, justice, and power. So now let's talk about Assyria. Assyria was a kingdom found by Ashur and Nimrod, and they fought against Judah. And you can find these scriptures in Genesis, the second chapter, and 14th verse, and 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 9, and Isaiah 36 and 1. And of course, in the scripture, you read Hezekiah talks about the cherubims, and they are angel-like characters. So this scripture that we read today focuses on Hezekiah's prayer and the work of the prophet Isaiah and how God is a God that hears our prayers, and certainly he will answer. And God's answer to the prophet, in particular, the God's answer to the prophet Hezekiah. So the second book of Kings is a continuation of 1 Kings. It gives an account of Israel's history from the reign of the kings all the way to the destruction of Samaria. The 2 Kings also contains the reign of Jehoshaphat, the fall of Jerusalem, the Babylonian exile, and it details Hezekiah's reign, which was from about 715 to 686 BC. And Hezekiah walked in the ways of David. And some scholars say he was the first king to walk in the ways of David. So, but there were other kings that did do good. But here's a king that prayed and was seeking the Lord. And seeking to the Lord to so much, to a great extent, that we have an example of what prayer looks like. Now, the purpose of 2 Kings is to show how those who are unwilling to follow God and do not allow him to leave them face a difficult or final destination, unlike those that are chosen. And if we look at the world today, if we look at those doing the shooting and the killing, and if we look at their background, if we do analyze them, we can ask, where is their relationship with God? Satan is trying to make it seem like that God is not in control. He's trying to take everybody with him that he can. If we look at the powers that be, you see so much hatred, so much violence, so many things that people are doing against somebody else that's not godly at all. It's just hatred at its pure core. And we see that the enemy is trying to make people believe or take away the foundation, not even have a foundation of God in their lives. So we have 2 Kings here. We understand that 2 Kings, we see that the children of Israel and how they followed after adultery and in the ways that leads to destruction. And we want to point out that the key relationship between God and his people and the relationship would be strained and torn because they wanted to live their own way. They didn't want to serve God. They wanted to serve the gods of the people around them. And certainly we look at the prophets. We look at the prophet Elijah. He fought against idolatry for 50 years. He challenged the people to return to God and follow his instructions. And certainly we see throughout the book of Kings the various prophets that were challenging the people to turn from their wicked ways and come back to God and serve and worship him. And certainly we see that in 2 Kings. And if we divide 2 Kings into two sections, you would have 1 through 7 represents the divided kingdoms, and 18 through 28 representing the surviving kingdoms. So we have a lot going on. And here we have Hezekiah that is walking in the way of the Lord. And then we have this Assyrian king who comes and feels like he is all that in a bag of chips. And he comes and he says, well, I am going to destroy Judah. I'm going to destroy you. And I'm going to do to you like I have done all the surrounding nations. I have killed their gods, I've destroyed their gods, and your God is no better. But how many people I want to let you know that our God is better. Hallelujah. So when we look at Hezekiah and Judah faced a crisis. They faced the enemy that was coming against them, and the Assyrians had dominated the world. It was the world power at the time. And they just knew that they were going to take this little old two tribes and destroy them just like they did all the surrounding areas. But I want to let you know, when God is in control, when God is on your side, I don't care how Satan comes at you, he has no power. So here we learn, or we see some things. Here we have Hezekiah's prayer model. And the Bible says pray without ceasing. We know that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We know that. We know that prayer is the supreme importance to our Christian life. Now, why is prayer so important? I want to tell you 6 points, y'all. Prayer is given in the Word of God. So the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We need a healing, y'all. Jesus taught us to pray. Said in Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you receive it if you have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Over there in Hebrews, praise the Lord. Then prayer is a vital breath in our Christian, our born-again life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We must have a prayer life everywhere we go. When we get up, Lord, I thank you. God, move, God. God, give me guidance in all my ways. I acknowledge you. Direct my path. God, lead me. I don't know what this day is going to bring, but you know, Father God, you know my needs. And God, you know what I'm going to face. God, I need more of you. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. Hallelujah. When I get to talking about the word, I get excited. For it's a great privilege to pray. Prayer to us must be the greatest privilege of all. There's no greater privilege than to enter into the holiest of holies, into the throne room of the King, and to bow in humble worship at his feet, to speak to him face to face. Hallelujah. Through prayer, all our needs are supplied. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for supplying my needs. And lastly, it's only through prayer that God will accomplish, that God's will be accomplished. Now, the Bible tells us that God fulfills his purpose in working through our asking. James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like of ours. Come, and he prayed frequently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. The purpose of prayer is not for God to alter his will, but to provide him with a channel through which he may accomplish his will. So we need to pray in order to be that channel, in order to be that willing servant to say, yes, God, to thy will. So that is some supreme why prayer is important for us as Christians. Now, I want to talk about this prayer model, this prayer over in Kings. It's found in Kings, and it's also found in Isaiah. But I gave you a little bit more details in 2 Kings, the 19th chapter. And Isaiah talks about it in the 37th chapter. Now, when we break it down, here is Hezekiah going before the Lord. He gets alone with God. The first thing that the king Hezekiah does, he reads a letter. Then he gets alone with God immediately. You know, sometimes the enemy hits us with stuff. We just got to go in that little secret place. We got to go in that place where we can get a prayer in and spend that time where we can really talk to God and to communicate with God and really, really talk to him like we're talking to our best friend. We got to close the door and shut out the world because we got to get serious with our communication with the Lord. Secondly, his prayer starts with praise. Now, 2 Kings 19:15 says, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubims, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, and earth, you have made heaven and earth. So he gets along with God, and he communicates with God, and he talks with God, and he praises God for the things that who he is. He reverences God. He tells God that you are worthy in so many words. We thank you, God, because you made the kingdoms. You made heaven and earth, and you made me as well. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing. You know, we've got to praise him. Hezekiah knew his place as king, but he also knew God's place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hezekiah was a king of nations, but God was the creator and king over all things, whether in heaven or earth, whether things that can be seen or unseen. He's sovereign, Almighty God Jehovah, who is worthy of every praise and all the glory. Hezekiah came before the Lord in honor, in humbleness and reverence of who God is. With his mouth, he praised and worshiped the Lord, giving him all the praise that he is due. We got to give him all the praise for what he's due. This is how Jesus taught us as we prayed in Matthew 6 and 9. It says, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In this model prayer that Jesus taught us, he's saying that when we begin our prayers before God, we must do so by praising him and worshiping him. My time is running on, y'all. I got to get this done. 3, Hezekiah's prayer was that of confidence. In 2 Kings 19 and 16, Hezekiah said, Incline your ear, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. In the same way as King Hezekiah came before the Lord in such boldness, we too must be able to come before the Lord with such confidence because our relationship with the Lord, first we need to examine our prayer life before God. Do we have such a relationship with God that you can run to him first and speak out your mind? Come on now. In 1 John 5:14-15 says, And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. When we pray, it should be in such a manner that it should be as though you are asking, you are talking to Jesus face to face, knowing that you are in his presence. The least that you or me sense his presence, the less bold or confidence you have. The key to this is a right relationship with Christ Jesus. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him personally and closer than whoever is closest person in your life. Have confidence that God hears your prayers. Micah 7:7 says, But as for me, I will look at the Lord and I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me. You will have confidence because you obey scriptures. Psalms 119 and 173 says, Let your hands be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. 4, you will have confidence because you are commanded to do so. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And lastly, you will have confidence because we know that he is able to do beyond what we ask or request. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hezekiah's prayer was dependent and certain. We're talking about the prayer model. We're talking about the example of all of what's loaded in Hezekiah's prayer. In this situation, Hezekiah knew he was out of his league facing the Assyrians. He knew that the reality of the situation around him, and he did not try to minimize the scale of the opponent he was against. He went before the Lord with his honest thoughts and poured his heart out to Lord, displaying that he was totally dependent on the Lord in this situation. We are totally dependent on the Lord in this situation in which we're living. We don't know if we're going out of our house to face violence. Of course, we're living in a day when violence comes in the house. It's in the mall. It's in the school. It's in the streets. It's on the expressway. And we need to bombard heaven and pray without ceasing. We need to intercede. We need to pray. We need to have a prayer time set up. We need to have a prayer closet in our homes. We need to meet God on a daily basis. We need to commune constantly with him, constantly, every day, 24/7. We need to say, Father, thou art Lord. We need you. You know, prayer is help me, Lord. It's just that simple. And that's a prayer. Lord, guide me. That's a prayer. Lord, I need you right now in my current situation. That's a prayer. So in 2 Kings 19, we're looking at verses 17 and 18, he says, truly, O Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste a nation and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the works of man's hands, wood and stone, therefore they were destroyed. You know, the enemy thinks that our God has no power. The enemy thinks that he can come into our homes and he thinks that he can destroy us because he thinks that the God that we serve has no power. He thinks that he's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, God the everlasting King, the omnipotent God, is just something made by hand. But the enemy is sadly mistaken, because God is a good God. God is present everywhere at the same time. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is there when we need him, and he's Johnny on the spot when we pray and seek him. God will provide our every need. He says, if thy ways please him, he will give us the desires of thy heart. And here this person gonna send a letter to Hezekiah and say, look, I'm gonna do to your God what I've done to the nation, to the surrounding nations. How dare you think that I serve a God without power? My God has power. My God is mighty, and certainly he will do exceedingly and above all that I could think. I got to slow it down. So King Hezekiah is proclaiming to the Lord that the Assyrians have laid waste to lands and have cast the man's God into the fire. He humbles himself. He tells God, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He prays in verse 19, so now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hands, and all the nation of the earth may know that you are God. See, when God's reputation is online, he'll show up and show out. The king of Assyria thought that they were going to blaspheme, or they were going to take out Hezekiah because his God was a small G. But they soon found out that we serve a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And certainly if we look at this prayer model, we look at the continued scripture, we know that God defended Hezekiah. God went before them. God went up into the camp and killed the Assyrians. You know, the angels attacked them and killed them. Hallelujah. I'm trying to move on, y'all. But when we understand God is a deliverer, God responds to a simple yet powerful prayer that King Hezekiah prayed. We understand that God showed up. And as we look into more of the lesson, we see that they were defeated, that God avenged them, that they were defeated, and he killed the Assyrians. If we go on down to King, the 2 Kings 19, and I'm out of time, 19:25-36, we'll find in 35th verse, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That's the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, that God will supply our needs. And we have an example of a prayer model that we can follow in this day and time. I don't care how many shootings, and we're praying for the victims, of course, but those that are on the Lord's side understand that God will protect us, God will lead us, and God will bring us out. We have to pray, saints. Father God, I thank you for this blog. I thank you, God, for running over, but that's okay, God. We pray even now, God, that this message will get out, Father God. We pray, God, that you allow somebody to hear this message, God, that when they hear it, they understand that you're God that takes care of our enemies, that you are God that fights for us. God, give us a deeper prayer relationship. Let us pray, God, like never before. Let us come before your presence with thanksgiving. Let us give you the reverence that you are due. And God, then let us boldly put our requests before you, God. And if our ways please you, God, make it happen. And if our ways don't please you, God, I ask, God, that we repent now, right now, that our ways may please you in the name of Jesus. Everything that's not like you, God, take it away. Every believer that listens to this word, touch them, God. Whatever is not right in their lives, God, I pray that you heal them right now, God, that they will repent of their sins, God, and that you'll draw them closer to you, Father God. You, God, you know the need, and we speak to the need right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God, in our lives. And even on tomorrow, Father God, give a word to your people, God, that are changed, rearranged, that would break up the fallow ground in the name of Jesus. God, you know the needs, God. You know the servant, God, that's sitting before you right now, God. My desire is to please you, God, like never before, God. Give me a word, God, in the name of Jesus. God, have your way. Save this nation, and we pray, God, even for leadership, God, that you will impart unto them directions that will help your people. Heal, deliver, set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, my time is out. Certainly, I will see you next week. Be blessed. God bless. Bye-bye. Before I leave, though, this is Dr. Maria Carey. You can email me at drcareyphd@yahoo.com. Or you can contact me, 309-750-7584. Bye-bye.